Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're back to our guest. He's Dr. Alan Dattner. He's one of America's foremost integrative dermatologists. That's a rare commodity. He utilizes diet, supplements, herbs, and natural methods, healing methods to address various skin conditions. And, of course, well-trained in conventional dermatology. So, I'm pretty sure if you have a skin cancer, it's something that he could diagnose. I would imagine you work with patients with challenging conditions that don't respond easily to like a little steroid cream, or prefer not to use conventional treatments. You know, so let's talk about some specific conditions that dermatologists see. What about psoriasis?
Well, psoriasis is a tough condition from any perspective, and I've had a number of patients who have responded, who've really hung in with the program, and usually wind up taking a number of different supplements and making some major changes. The first one was way back when I was working with the early group with, Leo Gallen, Sid Baker, and all those folks, when we first discovered yeast involvement in
I remember those meetings. That was all, it was all brand new then, essential fatty acids, Candida, yeast connection,
new stuff. Going to Birmingham. I don't know if you went to Birmingham with Orion Trust meeting in 83. So I found that when I would treat people for a month with an anti-candida diet as my main treatment, they'd come back and they were hadn't changed much. And I said, okay, well, let's leave off. And then I had a patient who didn't show up for 6 months, and she came back and she said, I followed the program, and my psoriasis is as much better as when I was on methotrexate. And I was
so the message is it takes time. Patients say, my goodness, I've been doing this darn diet for a month and I'm no better. It's like, well, okay, now we've learned that patients need to hang in. It's a very deep-seated condition.
It took her 50 years to get there, so it's not going to get better in a week or a month. So that was a real eye-opener for me, and so I began to persist more with patients who were willing to do that. And in people who do that, I found I often get results. But I will tell you, psoriasis is a challenge, and not everybody gets better. There are so many different potential allergens. And now, we know that it's a delayed hypersensitivity reaction. Although that wasn't discussed very much, all of the new biologics that came out are aimed at different stages in lymphocyte reactivity. So a delayed hypersensitivity. So that's sort of a confirmation of the mechanism. The problem is that nobody wants to look for what's stimulating it, except in the case of streptococcus. And in that case, we see a typical kind of psoriasis called guttate psoriasis following a strep throat. That is well known. So what I do is say, if strep can cause it, then there must exist other allergens that can do the same thing.
Or other intestinal villains that may be culprits in terms of triggering a hypersensitivity reaction.
And indeed, there's a lot of work on lipopolysaccharides, which are basically the cell walls of gram-negative bacteria in the colon, which have now are now being associated with psoriasis and a number of inflammatory diseases. So that's another piece that has to be addressed in the whole issue of treating psoriasis.
Do you like essential fatty acids? Do you like vitamin D in support of patients with psoriasis? What do you find most helpful?
Well, I think they're all helpful but not sufficient. They all help at the right stage to calm down the level of inflammation, but somewhere along the line, you got to pluck the sand out of the oyster. You got to find what's stimulating it most and try to transform or remove that factor.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I've had a large number of patients with psoriasis, and they are challenging. They do respond. Some of them we really hit a home run with, and others respond partially. But it does depend on its long term, and it's a bit of a slog in terms of a dietary elimination and doing detective work. But the results can be very gratifying.
Oh, yeah. And usually other things improve at the same time. So the side effects
joint pain and so on and so on, yeah, which is often an accompaniment.
Energy, yeah, I mean, I remember one patient who, I only saw him a few times, but he kept referring to me as some kind of savant because I had changed the way he felt so dramatically. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even care that his psoriasis wasn't changing in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a sign that he had some stuff that was really off.
Well, you know what I noticed, I watch TV and, you know, on the ball games and, you know, on the cable news, they have advertisements for these really expensive immunosuppressive psoriasis drugs. Now they have some really powerful meds, but they have a lot of side effects, obviously. They cripple the immune system. They make patients more prone to certain cancers and rare infections.
Oh, yeah.
But I notice when looking at the commercials that the actors that portray patients with psoriasis, they often portray realistically overweight patients. And that, I think, is kind of a concession to the notion that there's something inflammatory about excess body fat. And, you know, the take-home message should be, wow, you know, you're carrying all that extra fat. Maybe there is a nutritional answer, because if you could shed that 25 pounds of toxic fat, maybe, just maybe, your skin would be less inflamed.
Well, that's one. And then the other question is, how do they get there? A lot of them are beer drinkers, or they're eating excessive amounts of sugar, which is feeding the yeast.
Yeah.
So, you know, right there you have two dramatic mechanisms that really need to be addressed and are in a way shown by the way they've gained so much body habitus. They're what do we call it, syndrome X,
mm-hmm.
with the excessive body weight, and the way they got there was a way that would have aggravated the psoriasis in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a vicious cycle they've got spinning that makes them worse. And I think it's good that they show that. Yeah, I agree.
So another common condition, I mean, a little less devastating, but, you know, almost a universal condition, judging from the sales of all these ointments and schmears that people buy and rub into their skin, is dry skin. And, you know, I've always said, and perhaps you can echo the sentiment, that what you want to do is you want to lubricate the skin, but from the inside out, not so much from the outside in, because skin's a little bit impermeable to things that you apply to it. You want to actually bring the lubrication from inside into the skin layer. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. The essential fatty acids are very helpful in that regard. They're somewhat anti-inflammatory, and so they help. What you're trying to do is build a barrier which occurs at the last stage of the movement of the epidermal cells into the stratum corneum, in which point in normal skin you do a number of things. One of them is you form waxes called ceramides, and now there are a lot of creams that have ceramides in it.
Yeah.
And you also have the barrier substance, which is a protein called filaggrin, which is in atopic dermatitis patients, at least in some of them, is defective. That protein, when it works right, helps form a barrier, and at the very last stage, when it's broken down, it forms antimicrobial peptides to control staph and strep infections in the skin. So you really want that to happen properly, but if it's not, then you've got a problem. So a number of people with dry skin actually have low-grade eczema.
Okay.
So the problem is that lubricating the skin with something elegant like a cream means you're putting on possibly 10 or 20 different ingredients.
Yeah.
Including various preservative systems. Now, there are only a handful of different, really chemically different preservative systems. So if somebody starts trying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different creams, they begin to use the same system. So if they get allergic to one, they wind up being allergic to other ones. So they find out that almost any cream they put on, after a while, causes trouble. So the cream has to, one, be helpful, and two, not be aggravating, not be something they develop an allergy to. And putting any chemical onto an area where there's already inflammation increases your risk of developing a bystander inflammation to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a paradox. And after a while, these poor folks find that there's almost nothing they can use, or they only have one thing they can use. It's, you know, it's really becomes a problem.
Are you partial to any topical agents at all? Because, I mean, dermatologists are real experts at dispensing various schmears, creams, ointments. Is there anything of a natural nature that you find helpful?
Yeah, I like various herbal ointments that are basically an herb in olive oil and beeswax, if mm-hmm. they can tolerate the olive oil and beeswax. So I find those are good placed on wet skin.
What are some of the herbs you like? Do you like aloe? Do you like comfrey? Which agents are most helpful?
Well, one of the ones, it depends upon what condition.
Sure.
And I like things with some licorice in it, which is mm-hmm. slightly anti-inflammatory.
Yep. Anti-inflammatory.
Potentiates the steroid activity. Calendula mm-hmm. is sometimes a very nice one. And chamomile can be good. It's slightly anti-inflammatory mm-hmm. and has some antimicrobial properties as well. So those are all things that can be very helpful. And as I find, different people can tolerate different ointments. But the secret is, ready? Here's the secret. Has to be put on wet skin because there's no moisture in it.
Okay.
You've got, so you're basically sealing in moisture.
Oh. Okay.
And it's nowhere near as elegant as a cream. You know, if you're wearing your favorite new white something or other, you know, shirt, it may come off on the shirt. So you want to put a thin amount on, like after you bathe, while you're still damp. That's the secret.
Oh, okay.
And you have to probably reapply them every few hours. So it's as I say, you don't have the elegance of a cream where you can just put that on and you're set, but you also avoid all of the preservative systems and other sensitizers that might be in the cream. So it simplifies the chances of getting into trouble with it, and it also simplifies figuring out what you're sensitive to.
Okay, interesting. Interesting pro. Absolutely, Alan. We usually pause to give one of our sponsors an opportunity to identify themselves. So let's hear it.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Okay, you mentioned earlier when we were talking, this is off the air, that you wanted to share some of your successes in treating some rather challenging, perhaps a little more off the beaten track skin conditions. What are some of those?
One of the most gratifying things is people coming to me with conditions, and they say, hey, you know, have you treated this before? And I may or may not have treated it, but the principles that I use are similar to almost any inflammatory condition. So I get results that surprise me as much as the patients. I've had patients come to me with what you would call folliculitis or dissecting cellulitis of the scalp, where their entire scalp is full of pus, is a mess. They've lost more than half their hair in a patchy manner. And I just take the steps and figure out what could be causing it, get all the things working with the gut. And I had some of these people come back with dramatic clearing. And it's sometimes they don't even come back. They just call me and say, gee, can I get those early pictures? I'm all better.
Wow, that's
I'm
gratifying.
Ready to fall off my chair.
Yeah.
You know, it's I've had that with people who've been exposed to pesticides and people who haven't, who've had other exposures. I've had patients with scleroderma and morphia get better.
What is, for our listening audience, what is morphia? Explain what that, or perhaps give us a picture of what it looks like.
These are autoimmune conditions where the skin becomes white or red and hard, mm-hmm. where there's so much inflammation that there's a thickening of the dermis, and the skin becomes hard and unresponsive and doesn't bend and stretch normally, and it can go on in some people to also involve other organs. The fingers can become hard, the kidneys can fail, but I've had people where it's confined to the skin, and I've been able to turn that around mm-hmm. by their persistence as well as mine. Mm-hmm. But one of them was a patient with morphea / lichen planus.
That's a challenging condition.
Doctors weren't quite sure.
Yeah.
They had sort of both, and he also had cystic acne. And, I treated him about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He called me last week from Puerto Rico to tell me that the acne was better for almost 3 weeks. And the scleroderma was no longer red. The morphea in his leg, this morphea lichen planus. So, I wouldn't expect that in 3 weeks. I wouldn't expect if I put him on steroids in 3 weeks, or methotrexate. It's a dramatic response. So sometimes I get surprised by how fast people get better when you actually get at the underlying causes. Mm-hmm. I had a patient who I had seen for several years in my previous office in Northeast Connecticut, who came to me with a large lump on his back, which proved on biopsy to be a cutaneous lymphoma. While we were waiting, while we were waiting to do the studies on the subtypes of the lymphocytes in the biopsy in order to figure out what was going on with him and what kind of treatment he needed, I did a bunch of things to get stuff out of his body that I suspected was causing the lymphoma, because he had worked as a typewriter repairman.
Oh, no.
And he was exposed to
solvents.
Carcinogenic materials.
Yeah,
his whole career.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I put him on some different things to get that stuff out of the body, and when he came back for his biopsy, the lump was gone.
Wow, that's
exciting. No more lymphoma, nothing to biopsy.
Amazing.
So sometimes this kind of thing can make a big difference. Matter of fact, there's some YouTube videos of me interviewed by somebody from a local radio station, a local TV station, who himself had done the same thing and gotten rid of a cutaneous lymphoma. So I know that this isn't, the approaches I use, it's not only my success that can vouch for that. So it's fascinating to see people who get this kind of a dramatic result, and sometimes very quickly. I've seen cases in lymphomatoid papulosis. I had a case that got better dramatically, and they were about to put this child on methotrexate. And virtually anything that's inflammatory in the skin can be addressed if you get at the cause and you address it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cause is, of course, is depending on what the person was doing for their life.
Indeed. That's, the detective work that we do as functional medicine doctors. On the skin cancer front, there's actually some encouraging news about certain nutrients that may not necessarily cure skin cancer, but people very prone to skin cancer keep having to go to the dermatologist and get barnacles cut off their skin. There's some preventive strategies, namely niacinamide has been cited as something that could be used to reduce the frequency of certain skin cancers.
Well, that might help metabolize certain factors that are carcinogenic in the skin. Basal cell cancers can be related to arsenic exposure, and I've certainly seen people who have had that either because they were treated with Fowler's solution for asthma, or because they lived in an area where there were wells where there had been potato or tobacco farming, and arsenicals were used and have built up their levels in the groundwater. So things that help get that stuff out can help. In the early days when I was still at Einstein, I worked with Mark Hardy, and we had some success using BCG, mm-hmm. injecting that into cutaneous.
That's now used only for bladder cancer, not for skin cancer, but it is a way of stimulating the immune system.
Well, and possibly doing it in specific ways. This was in melanomas. Hmm. And although I don't tend to treat those, we had some dramatic successes, as did he, in getting distant metastases to resolve by injecting single areas. And I don't know if you know, Mastrangelo and Bird did a number of studies with BCG and DNCB, another substance that I worked with at the NIH. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of successes, but they only used historical controls, and they didn't get a lot of support from the scientific community. But Bird raised $43 million and built a company called AVAX based on using combinations of these things. Unfortunately, things didn't go well for them, and
that's why I don't invest in that's why I don't invest in biomedical stocks. People think that we doctors have a unique insight into what's going to be the next greatest Genentech, but it's a perilous field because medical vogues come and go, and sometimes investing is not a good idea. Okay, so let's wrap it up in terms of our intelligent medicine call to action. First of all, your book. Tell us about your book and where people can get it.
Well, my book is called Radiant Skin from the Inside Out, the Holistic Dermatologist's Guide to Treating Your Skin Naturally. The book is available on Amazon. You can find it through my website, holisticdermatology.com. It is about, and this is very exciting, it's about to come out on audible.com so that in the next few weeks you'll be able to buy an Audible copy, read by a professional reader, and listen to it in your car or as you're skating around the park or whatever, so that you don't have to take time sitting down reading it.
Or hopefully
it
really not hopefully you, not while sunbathing without proper sun protection.
I think that I agree with you, and hopefully not while crossing traffic and not paying attention to that.
Right.
But it will give you a real background in immunology that helps you make the choices and know where to put the emphasis on the kinds of choices you make. So as opposed to the blogs which say this did this, which might be so, but it did it for a certain individual and you really have to know more about that individual to know why it worked. Mm-hmm. This book gives you an understanding about why. So when you make your choices, you'll understand how careful you need to be about avoiding yeast or avoiding sugar or whatever, and how it makes a difference. How the liver is working and what kinds of pieces you need to put together a program. So it's a real important thing for anybody with skin conditions and indeed anybody with inflammatory conditions who wants to understand the basic immunology, and how these things pertain to the integrative treatment, the functional medicine treatment of various conditions. And as I say, on Amazon, through my website, holisticdermatology.com, or soon on audible.com.
And for those patients desirous of having a consultation with you, say they've got a challenging skin condition, you have two offices. You have one in New York City, and you have an office in Westchester, is that correct?
Right. In New York City, I'm right at the corner of 81st and Central Park West. I'm sitting here looking at the park right now, right across from the Museum of Natural History Planetarium. I'm here on Mondays and Wednesdays, 212-722-2441. And the other office is in my home in New Rochelle, New York. So I see Westchester patients there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Call only during reasonable hours, 914-637-0908, because it's also my home phone.
Okay.
So don't leave a message in the middle of the night.
Hey, you know, I just woke up. I have a terrible itch, Doc. I know it's 2 a.m., but, you know, they gave me this number.
I've gotten those, yes. Yeah. Better not.
You're a brave soul to give out, your personal number, but that, I think, reflects your dedication. You've had a long and successful career, and you still got fire in the belly to help patients with the challenging skin problems. So kudos to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Once again, the website.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, the website is.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, the website, let's give it again.
Holisticdermatology.com with an H, all one word. And on that website, you can also put your name in and give me information about your condition and your phone number and what that, and then we'll get back to you. And that will also give you my phone numbers in case you've lost that. So it's a good place to make contact with me to find out more about what I do, see my blogs, understand more about my approach, and, as I say, a way to contact me through that.
Perfect.
So I look forward to anybody who's interested to contact me through there first rather than the phone numbers. I think that's probably the best way.
Yep, that's a good portal of entry. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Dattner. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.